Please listen carefully.
You are listening to the Ardent Development Podcast. I'm Ron Smith.
And I'm Derek Hatchard. Whatever your role in the software development industry, join us in our search for inspiration and insights for builders and leaders.
Go to ardentdev.com to find more interviews and subscribe by email. Follow us on Twitter at ardentdev. Welcome to the Ardent Development Podcast, and today we're going to be doing something a little different. Normally, we would have a guest on the show and we would interview them, and we thought that it would be interesting to our listeners to find out a little bit about the hosts. So if you caught the last episode, Derek would have interviewed me, and for this episode, I'm going to be interviewing Derek. It'll be a brief interview, but just to give you a sense for who are these two guys that are this Ardent Development Podcast. So welcome, Derek.
Thanks, Ron.
So let me kick this off by just asking how you got involved with tech.
Well, okay. So, and I'm going to reference an episode that we haven't published yet. We're talking to Kevin Grosniklos and we talked about programming nostalgia in that one. And you were talking in that episode, you talk about your Commodore 64 and I was talking about my Commodore VIC-20. And that's where it started. My parents gave me a Commodore VIC-20 and I had a book with some basic code in it and I coded some stuff up and I didn't fully sort of understand what I was doing, or at least I didn't appreciate the power of what I was doing. To me, I was like, I created a really lame video game. When I went to high school, we had old-fashioned typewriters. So you took typing, learned how to do typing on a mechanical keyboard, and then we had computer skills, which was basic computer. Put some floppy drives in to load DOS and learn a little bit of Lotus 1-2-3. And it was when I took that class, I really had gotten through all of the curriculum, and so the teacher said, "Well, why don't you try to learn how to write some code?" And so I wrote a blackjack game in Pascal. That's how it started. That was the first thing that I really wrote where I was creating some parts of the algorithm and I was really starting to understand what was going on. Even that, though, didn't totally seal the deal for me when I was picking what I was going to do after high school and you meet with the guidance counselor and I was applying to schools and one of the schools I applied to, you could pick up to three faculties that you wanted to apply to. So I had applied to math or physics, I think physics and engineering. She said, "Well, you might as well put a third one in since there's a spot there. It doesn't hurt because you might get accepted into one or maybe you'll get a better scholarship offer from one. You can always switch majors later once you get there." So I put computer science in, and lo and behold, of all of the various acceptance letters and scholarship offers that I got, the best one was from the University of New Brunswick, which is actually based in Fredericton, where I live now. Yeah, that had the best scholarship offer was for computer science. So I said, "Well, I don't really know what path I want to be on, so I'll go do computer science." And I had my moments of doubt when I was in there. I ended up actually doing not only a computer science degree, but I did a psychology degree in undergrad concurrently because I was interested in some aspects of the human computer interaction, some of the research that was going on at the intersection of those disciplines. Ended up working a couple of jobs. I've technically only had three jobs in my career. The rest of the time I've been self-employed. But I had a couple of jobs. Went back to grad school. Had this really interesting experience where I went from the consulting world where you would work on things and you had this relatively short feedback cycle in terms of, your client would accept the work and, would go into production. Or in one case, it was actually a big design project, which I'm not sure if it actually ever went into production. I think we may have only ever just designed it. But I found it really hard when I got to grad school. Although I had sort of always fancied myself as an academic, it turns out that I wasn't excited about the idea of doing research that I published and then waited for a decade for it to make its way into the industry. I was actually really, I was really gung ho to see my work show up in the hands of users as early as possible, which led me to leave school. And my wife was on, she had our first baby and she was on maternity leave. And so here in Canada, we have maternity leave policies. So as she was home with the baby, I had left school. And we had moved and I said, "Well, you know what I really want to do is I want to build software products. So why don't I start a company and I'll bootstrap it with consulting work, start picking up consulting work." And I had so much fun during that early phase because I was not just writing code for people, but I had picked up some work writing, writing tutorials, wrote magazine articles. I wrote slides for presentations. So basically like making sure all of the technical information was correct and like keynote talks at product launches, co-authored a book, edited a book that actually was released under a Creative Commons license, which was pretty fun. So did a bunch of really interesting things and didn't have the traditional go to school, go get a job and write code for 10 years. I almost immediately was into all kinds of different activities surrounding the development space. So I wrote lots of code during that time, but I also recorded videos and recorded audio and did a lot of writing. So it was really fun for me, but certainly not traditional by any stretch.
So I'm remembering back to when we met 15 years. I don't know how long ago it was. I think you told me that you were the regional director for Microsoft. And I thought to myself, who is this guy? Like, he's just young. You don't hear of people having that role. And I thought, man, is this guy ever keen that he's tied in with Microsoft? I think it was a volunteer position, but you got to meet some great people from Microsoft and the like. But I was struck by how young you were, already running a consulting company, regional director for Microsoft. You had written a book. I was like, man, this guy's all in. Anyway, it's a long time ago now, but you seem to accomplish more in your youth coming out of university than most of the peers that I would have worked with. I remember sitting back and chatting with you, and you had said early in your career, you were very interested in all these different types of technology, so you would study them all. You were one of the guys that enjoyed the debate. Well, what piece of technology should we use in this aspect? So again, that was different than what most people do, because, so me included, so I went to university and studied C. And I worked in C, and I worked in Oracle a lot when I first graduated. But you had this breadth across the spectrum, which was really really neat to see, and at a very young age, so it was impressive.
It's interesting the point that you just raised, which the difference between people who go deep and specialize in an area and the people who go broad and really try to learn a lot of different things, because I think we need both. I think both are essential to a vibrant, stable industry. And I've pretty much always been attracted to the, hey, go learn lots of different things and have an understanding of many different technologies, and kind of get bored if I'm doing the same thing over and over again. So I was, the consulting company that I had was really focused on .NET development. During that time, I was always on the sort of leading edge of what was happening. So there was a new version of .NET coming out. I was going to know that. I was going to, I wanted to write articles, or I wanted to, contribute to a book on the latest thing that was coming out. I remember, you might not remember this actually, I'm not sure. I actually burnt out the video card in my computer at the time because I was running early builds of what became, it must have been Windows Vista. But it was before that name was around, and the cord for the fan on my video card wasn't connected. So there was no power, so the fan wasn't spinning, which when I was running XP, it didn't matter. But Vista was so, it had such high GPU requirements that the card overheated in the computer and it fried it. Yeah, that was the sort of stuff that I loved. I used to have to schedule downloads, and I'm trying to remember what it was. I feel like it might have been one of the early Visual Studio .NET releases, but getting daily or weekly builds of those because we were working on something, working on a slide deck likely for a product launch, but having to get the builds and download them over my DSL modem, and it would take all night for these massive files to download. And so last thing I would do at 9 o'clock at night is I would start the download on FTP, make sure that it had auto reconnect going, because if it failed partway through the night and it didn't auto reconnect, I was screwed the next day. But then you sort of get up in the morning and hope that it finished downloading overnight, because it was such big files and my internet connection was so slow back then.
So the name of the podcast has taken on the name of your old company, your old boutique .NET consulting company that where you owned and I worked with you.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we haven't addressed that anywhere, I don't think. And there'd be a handful of people, not very many. There'd be a few people listening who actually would remember that. Yeah, ardent development was just a name that the word ardent means enthusiastic or passionate. And I thought it really reflected how, you know, the type of consultancy that I wanted to run, and that domain and that Twitter account have just sat pretty much unused for years now. And we'll talk in a minute about what I was doing in between. I love the fact that we have resurrected that brand and are using it for something new. And I feel like it really captures the spirit of doing a podcast for developers, is that it's like, this is for the people who are passionate and enthusiastic about the practice of building software.
So when you decided to shut down, you know, your first Ardent Development consultancy, you had an opportunity to go work for a pretty neat company in Fredericton. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
So there are a couple of stages to that. The first part was I had the consultancy really was started to bootstrap product development. And as happens with a lot of companies that are bootstrapped with consulting, the revenue from the consulting is so enticing. It's hard to ever really slice off a part of the company to fund whatever product development work that you're doing. And it ends up being a distraction. We were so busy doing consulting work, we just didn't have the bandwidth internally to work on any product things. And so we're based in Canada, did a lot of work in the US. At the time, the US to Canadian dollar exchange rate was really favorable for us. So we could, you know, we could do work in the US, and it worked out really well when we converted it into Canadian dollars. And there was a period of time when the consulting business was just drying up a little bit, you know, because of the economic downturn in 2008. And I kind of lost my interest in running a consulting company after coming out of a negotiation where I had had a couple of people on the team who were out working for really good rates, and a customer coming back and saying, we know that you gave them to us at a really good rate, but we need to know if you can go any cheaper. And at that point, I was like, well, like, what's the point in doing that? You don't run a business to break even. And, you know, you could do that for some period of time. It would be great. But if people come and want to have people below cost, it doesn't make any business sense. And I had to ask myself, do I want to keep doing this? Is this, you know, do I want to be here in 10 years? And the answer was no. That what I had set out to do was fund a product company. So stopped doing the consulting, disbanded the consultancy, and spent some time working on product things. You and I worked on some product things during that period of time. And then I ended up joining a company called Radian 6. Super interesting company doing social media monitoring and management. And, you know, I was looking for something new, there was the opportunity to go work on some new tech that I hadn't worked on. Had a great time building some cool new stuff. And then Salesforce acquired the company. So I got swept up along the way into the world of big corporate life, and really did that for about 7 years. Worked as a developer, as a software architect, and then as a product owner for some of our platform features within the social business, and then worked in what's now called the Salesforce Marketing Cloud, which is the bigger digital marketing part of the business. I spent some time as a product owner in that space before the travel actually got to me, and I decided that what was really most important to me at this stage was being around when my kids, you know, had sporting activities, and when they were, coming and going from school. I just didn't want to be away 40% of the time, which is what was happening, just the career path that I was on.
Well, thank you, Derek. It's been great to reminisce with you a little bit, and hopefully our listeners will have gotten a kick out of some of the stories and know who we are a little bit more than they were before they listened to this. So we will have other guests on the next show. So it's been great. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Ryan. You've been listening to the Ardent Development Podcast. Be sure to visit us at ardentdev.com for the show notes, including links to the books and resources mentioned. And don't forget to sign up for email notifications so that you're the first to know about new episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter at ardentdev. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a review on iTunes, as it helps other people discover the podcast. Thanks for listening.